That's some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On this March 27th, 2024, the Playmaker is back from vacation. Had a great time in Orlando. Shout out to my sister Yolanda, as she turned 40. Had a great time celebrating with her and the crew. Now that I'm back, you know, I got to dive into what happened this weekend in college football. You know, I mean, college basketball, the March Madness, the tournament, all that good stuff. Surprisingly, though, this tournament has been very chalky on both sides. Very chalky, though. So we did have some upsets, but not as many as we've been accustomed to over the past few years. And that might be a good thing going forward. Let me see here. Oh, Victor, Mr. V-Lock is in the building. Or so I say, Vekala. What's up, man? Thank you for tuning in today. I am back. Yep. Took some time also. I wasn't the hardest working man last week, but I'm back. So we're going to see how that works out. Man, got some, going to dive into it, man, because, you know, it's a lot to get into over the weekend, all college. I will be getting back to my NBA soon. Don't worry. To all my NBA people out there, I will be getting back talking to the NBA pretty soon. Don't worry about my, if I might do it. I might drop an NBA episode Friday. I don't know. I'll see how I feel. But, yeah, I know the NBA, we probably down to, like, the final 10, 11 games left in the NBA. Don't worry. I'll get back to that. You will get some NBA content from me before we hit the playoffs. Trust me. You will get it. But, man, y'all know how I feel about college basketball. Y'all know when it's this time of the month, my focus is all on college basketball, man. So we're going to be getting it going here, and let's get to it. Well, okay, that was my man Victor said, hey, even our hardest workers need a vacation. Yep, because I sure needed that. I sure needed that vacation and spent time in Orlando. Very, very great time. It's always a good time when I'm in Orlando. But nevertheless, let's get to it. We're going to get going with the, you already know, around the hardwood. And let's kick it off like this. John Calipari will remain as the head coach of the Kentucky Wildcats. We're getting to the big issue with the Wildcats because they were upset in the first round by Oakland. Another first round exit for Coach Calipari and the Wildcats, you know, dive a little bit more into it. But, you know, with Kentucky, you never know. It's been crazy how these things been going with the Kentucky Wildcats. Another early exit, but like I said, I'll dive in more into it when I get diving more into the men's in my next segment. But I had to throw that out there. Yep. So that's where we at right now. He'll be back for next season. And plus, they playing a man 30, I think it's $33 million a year. I think something like that, a lifetime contract. So yeah, trying to get him out, buy him out. I don't know if Kentucky want to do that quite yet. So let's see how that goes. We gonna see. Let's see what we got here. Oh boy. For those who don't know who this is, Coleman Media is my good friend, Mr. Cole Johnson. Congratulations on your new show. Can't wait for it to debut. Looking forward to it. He says the Wildcats are eliminated from ECW tournament again. Take that, Cart Kellogg. Obviously, if I remember correctly, Cart Kellogg picked those Wildcats to make it to the Final Four, and they took a first-round exit. So I think that's why Cole Johnson is coming hard after Mr. Kellogg. But, hey, making predictions. You're going to get some right, you're going to get some wrong. Nevertheless, Cart Kellogg got this one wrong. I got it wrong, too, because I had him in the freaking Elite Eight. That's my long Elite Eight team that I lost. Goddamn Wildcats. No problem, Cole. You know, I'm happy for your success and what you're doing. Hey, you made me better. That's why I'm getting better at doing this than when I first started. So, next up, Vanderbilt named James Madison, Mark Boddington, as new head coach. They fired Jerry Stackhouse. I mean, you seem to come to this. I mean, probably outside of 1 year, Vanderbilt haven't done nothing under Stackhouse leadership. So you knew that was coming. And they needed to find a replacement. Why not do nothing better than the guy who led James Madison to a NCAA tournament appearances in a very, and I do mean very long time. They put up an upset winner in the first round, which I'll get into. And they losing a round of 32, obviously. And then after that, that's when all those other things happen. And now he's leaving James Madison to become the coach at Vanderbilt. So I see Vanderbilt making moves, trying to do things. Let's see if they can keep it going. Let's see if they can, you know, bring back up to the SEC, in which I will get into the SEC later when I talk men's basketball, because what I seen over the weekend when I was in Orlando was not pleasing to one who represents the ACC on this podcast and other podcasts like Bearing Down the Granite. Don't worry, we're going to talk SEC a little later. I have not forgotten. It's coming. Okay? Those are our coaching news. Let's move on to our next around the hardwood segment we got going on here. Oh, we got some more coaches. Utah State Danny Sprinkle accepts Washington Hoops job. So he's leaving the Mountain West for the Big Ten. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who quit to think, Pac-12. No. Washington is now going to the Big Ten. Okay. I do. That means we have what? We are 5 days away from April. So we go from April, May, June, July. I think it's July or June, one of the two. We're pretty much a couple of months away from all this realignment actually taking place. You know, Washington, Oregon, and the LA school, the UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten, OU and Texas going to the SEC. You got Colorado, the Arizona, like Arizona State and Arizona. I do believe Utah is going over to the Big 12. So in a couple of months' time, it's going to be a lot of changes in college sports. I want to say June. I could be wrong. Could be July. But I know we're like a couple of months away for all that coming. Okay? And it's coming fast and furious. So you hope y'all ready for that. Let's keep it rolling here. Dustin May set to make Michigan enjoyable to watch. Those who don't know who Dusty May is, that is the head coach of Florida Atlantic. The team that made a Final Four run last year that shocked everybody with Jonell Davis as the star of the team. They made it back to the tournament again, and they took a first-round exit, unfortunately, to Northwestern. Shout out to Brian Snow, Snowman in the Morning. His Wildcats along with Mike Greenberg, as they Wildcats got a big win in that one in the 9-8 matchup. But, yeah, Dustin May will no longer be the head coach of Florida Atlantic. He's moving to the Big Ten to coach some big boys up in Michigan. So that should be interesting to see how he handles that aspect, because now you're playing with the big boys. You're not playing with the little kids no more, you know, even though Florida Atlantic did move to the American Conference this year. But you're playing with the big boys. You're in the Big Ten Conference, okay? And we just talked about all the teams that's coming from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. So that comes from the BYU, and Dusty May is making his debut in the Big Ten next year with all that changes around. And, yeah, Jerron Howard, I don't know what happened this year. I don't. That was a terrible year. I think y'all only won like 8 games. 8 games! You talking about the Michigan Wolverines, you only won 8 games. I don't know what to say. Oh, Lord. See, Cole Johnson's already starting already. See, this is what I've been talking about. Look at this. You're wrong for that, Cole. You're wrong for that. But I ain't going to hold you to it. But you're wrong for that, though. They're saying you're wrong for that. All right. Got a couple of transport quarter news coming. Michael Ajayi is transferring from Pepperdine to Gonzaga. Oof. So he said, you know what? I've been in Pepperdine. It's been fun playing here. I'm going to transfer within the conference, just the West Coast Conference, and I'm going to Gonzaga. So, hey, that man said he's taking the lead. He want to play. He want to play in the big games. You know, he want to see, you know, a Gonzaga Kansas game or a Gonzaga and Michigan State type of game. He want to play with the big boys. You know, Mark Few got him one. Ajayi was the leading scorer for the Pepperdine. He was averaging 17.2 points per game along with 10 rebounds. So he was giving you a double double. So Mark Few got him a good one. He got him a good one here. And yes, the man got fired from Michigan, but you ain't have to say that though. The man Ben got fired. The man got fired last like 2 weeks ago. And speaking and going back to our transport portal, South Carolina's top scorer, Michi Johnson, is into the transfer portal. That is a shocking thing to learn that happened 2 days ago. A spectacular year for South Carolina, a surprising year for South Carolina. I don't think people had South Carolina doing how good that they did. Nevertheless, they did take a first round exit, which I will get into in my next segment. But their top scorer is leaving, so let's see if they can replenish that right there up in South Carolina. It's going to be interesting to see where he's transferring to, where he's going to go. There's a lot of opportunities out there, you know, especially for a guy who's the top scorer on one of the most surprising teams in college basketball in South Carolina on the men's side. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. He probably has a lot of offers out there in the transfer portal because the NCAA don't know how to regulate the transfer portal, dude, if I'm being quite honest. So, I'm just sitting here wondering, like, what are they going to do when it comes to this transfer portal? So just interesting right now. All right. I think that's it for our men's. I think we're going to the ladies. Yes, we're going to the ladies. Ladies and gentlemen, if you, my brother's in the chat. What's up? My brother Ronnie Kitchens in the chat. This man said, I would have got one punch in before I got fired. This man here. Something wrong with you, bro. Like, something's wrong with you. Oh, my. Why would you even say, why? Like, why? Why? My brother. That's my brother, though. So, can't say nothing about that. But, yeah. Ooh, what Cole Johnson says here? Let me see if I get into the women news. That's code for NCAA hasn't found a way to make money off players with the transport program. Yep. Pretty much, but you know, they don't know what to do with it. It's the transfer portal. The transfer portal is basically free agency in college basketball, and they have no idea what to do with it whatsoever. They just don't. It is obviously they have no idea what to do with it. Now, with that being said, let's dive into some news from the ladies' side of things here, okay? Let's do that. Now, here's what I am saying. What you see on the screen is Holy Cross Iowa most viewed women's NCAA tournament opener. And there's only one reason why it's the most viewed. Only one reason why. Because think about it. This is, remember, Iowa is a one seed going against a 16 seed in Holy Cross. Okay? And if I remember correctly, I think Holy Cross had to do a play-in to even get in. Had to be part of playing to get in. Let me make sure I'm right on that. If I'm correct, I think Holy Cross had to play themselves in before they even got a chance to go to Iowa. If I remember correctly. Let me check your bracket. Let me make sure I'm not tripping. Hold on. But nevertheless, we are literally talking. I got no idea. Neil is already in. Not a play-in. Already in. Okay, good. This is a 1-16. And this is the most viewed of the first round. You could have watched North Carolina and Michigan State go away. We're talking Florida Gulf Coast and Oklahoma. You could have watched Nebraska and Texas A&M go at it. I mean, Middle Tennessee and Louisville, which I'll get into when we talk ladies. That's a 6-11 matchup. The most, you even had Alabama going against Florida State in an 8-9 matchup, Kansas versus Michigan in an 8-9 matchup. I'm giving you all these matchups. And the most view for the opening round of the NCAA tournament is a 16 seed versus a 1 seed. There's only one reason, and that's Caitlin Clark. When would you ever thought a 16 versus 1 seed would ever be the most viewed game in the first round? It is obviously Caitlin Clark is that spectacular, that much of a superstar in basketball, not in women basketball, in all of basketball, that a 16 seed in Holy Cross has been viewed as most as they ever been viewed. Think about that. Holy Cross, Ireland, most viewed women's NCAA tournament opener. That is crazy to even say those words, but it's a great, it's a beautiful thing because we all know everybody's paying more attention to the women's game than the men's game. Not to say women, like people not paying attention to the men's game, but they are paying attention to the men's game, but they are more consumed with the women's game more than the men. And it's plain and simple. And if I remember correctly, it was like 2.3 million views of that game. And we're talking a 16 seed versus a 1 seed when everybody and their mama know who's going to win that game. Everybody know who's going to win that game. I got it right here. It says the Hawkeyes 91-65 win over Holy Cross on Saturday averaged 3.23 million views on ABC. The viewership surpassed the 2.5 million who watched last year's Elite Eight game between Iowa and Louisville, making this the most viewed women's tournament game ever, excluding the Final Four and the championship game. By the way, so the record of this beat is Caitlin Clark versus Haley Van Lee when it was Iowa versus Louisville and Iowa won that game. So the top two views in women's tournament history both involve Caitlin Clark. They both involve Caitlin Clark. There's no way around it. You can't dismiss it. Caitlin Clark is that big. Let me see what Cole says. Cole says, man, I never thought the greatest basketball superstar would be a woman by a country mile. I got to witness the greatness of Sharon Millen, and she didn't pull this off. No. So basically, Caitlin Clark broke her own record, which was a record that everybody wanted to look for because it was Haley Van Lick leading Louisville against Caitlin Clark and Iowa, and everybody knew that's going to be a game. And it was a game until Caitlin Clark said, I am done with y'all. I'm putting this to bed. That was last year. This year, she surpassed it in a 1 versus 16 matchup. 1 versus 16. That's a one. We ain't talking 1 versus 8. We ain't talking 8 versus 9. We ain't talking 7 versus 10. We ain't talking 3 versus 2. We ain't talking 3 versus 6. We ain't talking none of that. It is 1 versus 16 that broke the record. I'm moving on. Clemson hired Chattanooga's coach Sean Poppy as new head coach. Good for them. And the one shocking news that I found, the shocking news of women's college basketball, Kenny Brooks is leaving Virginia Tech for Kentucky. Kenny Brooks did a phenomenal job with the Hokies of Virginia Tech. The problem going in, outside of Georgia Amor, they lost Elizabeth Kentley to a torn ACL, and I knew at that point they weren't going to get far in the tournament because now everybody can focus on Georgia Amor as they want to now and limit everybody else, which they did, and they took a second-round exit. I believe they took a second-round exit. I forgot to who. Let me go look at it and see who took them out. If I can find, let's see, who took out Virginia Tech? Baylor took out Virginia Tech by 3. Hell of a game, by the way. 75-72. You know, Georgia Amor struggled. Obviously, she's going to struggle because now the attention is focused is fully on her. Now that, you know, it was a good done deal. Georgia Amor had 18 points. She was 7 for 22 from the field, 3 for 11 from 3. So, yeah, It was one of them games where you know it's going to be a struggle for you, and it was. And Virginia Tech got ousted by Baylor. But the head coach, Kenny Brooks, is leaving for Kentucky. Might be it's a good job on Kentucky, you know. See if Kentucky can make make another run like they did last year or 2 years ago when they shot the world and not 2 years ago when they shot the not and not South Carolina in the SEC championship game. And they made a run to the, I want to say, Sweet 16. They might have made the Elite Eight that year, but they was making a run and make a good deep run into the tournament before they end up losing. But congratulations to Kentucky. They got him a good coach. I want to see what he does in Blick Boom Nation. That's going to be a fun one. And finally, to end around the Harvard off, we got to get serious here. So before the Utah Utes took their exit from the tournament and the loss to Gonzaga over the weekend, this took place. Utah women's basketball team moves hotel after racial incidents. Now, when I read this, it was a couple of incidents. One, it was a single car. I think they said a white pickup truck, something like that. The guy said the N-word towards them, made some racist comments towards them, drove off. As they was walking to the restaurant, from the hotel to the restaurant, you know, trying to get a meal in, you know, this team bonding experience is only them. You're in what city they're in? They was in Idaho, so I want to say Boise. They're probably in Boise, Idaho, if I want to say, you know. And there was some racial comments. Then it happened hours later, probably when they was leaving the restaurant, going back to the hotel. Some more people in some cars, including that white pickup truck from earlier, yelled some racial remarks to them again and drove off. This is why they move hotels. And come to find out, they wasn't the only ones that moved. A couple of other teams that was staying in that same hotel as Utah, they also moved hotels for their safety purposes as well because of this incident. It is a shame that we in the year 2024 and we still have to deal with racism. Okay. And Utah is not full of black players. They have Polynesian players as well. They have black players. They have Asian players, you know. So the fact that we're still dealing with this in this time in 2024 is really disheartening, if I say the least. Very disheartening. And especially to women. To women who are putting on a show in a time where women's basketball has never been as high as it is right now. And for these young women to have to deal with this in a small state like Idaho, because Idaho's not really known for much but Boise State and potatoes. And for them to have to deal with this is a problem. You know? It's always going to be around most likely because some people just don't like color. I'm just going to put it like that. Some people just don't like color. Why? I have no idea why. Okay? Only thing that's different is the color of somebody's skin. They bleed just the same as you. They have two ears. They have two hands, 10 fingers, two feet, 10 toes. They have a heart. They have a brain. They have two eyes. They have a mouth. I mean, what is there not to like about somebody just by looking at them without even knowing them? Not even knowing what they did in their past, not even knowing how they are as a person, without even getting to know them, but you just don't like them because they are not the same color as you. It is a shame that this continues to happen, and it should not continue to happen as it is right now. So I hate the fact that these ladies couldn't really enjoy themselves being in a tournament because they're dealing with stuff like this that should not even be dealing with. In a height where women's basketball is undeniable. Truly undeniable. It's very unfortunate, though. So, that's it for Around the Hardwood. We're going to take a commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to dive into some madness that is college basketball, starting with the men.
BS3 Network presentation. a TED Talk, but I don't have anything to talk about yet. I'm getting there.
Life is for the living. We're not here that long.
You can learn anything you want to learn without any money spent.
What do I really enjoy? What do I really want out of life?
I am your host, W-I-Z-E.
Are you in a life holding pattern? Well, this is for you. Welcome to the Stuck in My Mind podcast. Live every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central.
This little right here. Look at the inside of these cakes. Now, when you bite into it, just as I demonstrated while you were talking at the beginning of your discussion right there, I could taste the drugs inside of this cake, Sick. I could taste the addiction within the cream filling of this cake right here, to where they not only just with that cake right there, but they made an ice cream out of it. They made an ice cream out of it. A 1 pint Christmas tree cake ice cream. Look at that little to smile up there. Look, she is up to no good on there. Look at that. Look at that smile on there, Sick. She knows that she got you. Got him is what's in her mind right now.
Acknowledge me.
Look at that little smile right there. She's up to no good.
D. Willie in the evening. Thursdays at 11:15 p.m. Eastern, 10:15 p.m. Central. Exclusively on Sertoba Media, where the struggle is real to be awesome.
The Playmakers Bar is proudly sponsored by Fanatics. Fanatics, the number one shop where sports fans across the world love to get their sports gear and fandom on. A wide selection of gears from every league, including the NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL, the NCAA, and of course, the WWE. Whether it is football, basketball, baseball, hockey, even soccer, golf, no matter what sport it is, there's sports appeal for every fan of every sport. Fanatics, with sports fan shop and official license everything.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green and the Jets wore green. That's how I become a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
Welcome back to Shooting Lights Out on this lovely Wednesday, March 27, 2024. New commercials, I know. Shout out to Cole Johnson for creating all the commercials except for that one. Ryan McCarthy, No Conditions Required. Great show. Him and Destin, they do a great show. They talk about everything. They can talk football. They can talk basketball. They can talk baseball. You know, they can talk hockey. They can talk whatever sport lane you in. They got you covered, okay? My man Wise, Stuck in My Mind podcast, got to be a guest on there. Had a great time being a guest on there. Love what he does, putting a spotlight on different guests and what they're doing in their journey of what we call life and how they became who they became. Love that. D. Willie? D. Willie just a different animal. He's just a different beast, okay? That man will make you laugh, okay? No matter how hard you try not to laugh, D. Willie's going to make you laugh. D. Willie's a comedian, okay? But he knows his sports. He definitely knows his sports. So, but seeing D. Willie in the evening, gotta love that because he's not talking about sports. He's talking about anything. You gotta love it. So, shout out to those guys. And I got some more commercials for you that I want to shout out to different people, but I'll get that in due time. In due time. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to dive into the madness, okay? And we're going to begin with the men's tournament, all right? Let's dive into it here. As you can see, we got it right here. We got it locked and loaded and ready to go. All right. So first order of business here is that upsets. That's what we create brackets for. That's what we want to see when it comes to the March Madness. No matter if it's the men or the women, we want to see upsets, especially the men, because that's what made March Madness what it is, starting with the men. First on the docket, and I'm probably going to get another comment from Cole Johnson again, because the first one on here is the Kentucky Wildcats losing to Oakland in the 3-14 upset. 80-76. They had a guy that came off the bench for Oakland. That man hit 10 threes out of 20. First of all, when you come off the bench, you're not even supposed to take 20 shots. Second of all of them ain't supposed to be threes to begin with. And third of all, you ain't supposed to be hitting 10 of them. Unless you're Klay Thompson. But Klay Thompson ain't the NBA. So he's an aberration. But this guy right here came off the bench, went 10 for 20 from the field, which is 10 for 20 from three, and shot the Kentucky Wildcats and John Calipari. Shot them. Just took them out. Never thought I would see something like this in college basketball, but hey, I did. And then speaking of John Calipari and reason why Cole is so adamant about the Kentucky Wildcats and Clark Kellogg picking them to go into the Final Four. In the past five NCAA tournaments, the past five, all right? Well, so I say past six because one of the years we didn't have a tournament because of COVID. So, but in the last five tournament games that Kentucky and John Calipari has been in, he is 1-4. 1-4. Okay. He has been absent in the first round a few times. He's been absent in around the 32. And there was a year that he didn't even make the tournament. Kentucky didn't even make a tournament at all outside of the COVID year. This is how crazy this thing is. And it's Cole Johnson. Right on cue. How you lose to a Detroit area school, man? You're lucky you're considered a college basketball warranty, Calipari. And here's the crazy thing. John Calipari is one of the coaches. The crazy thing is John Calipari is well known. Very known. And he's in basketball warranty off of one championship. One. He didn't win one at UMass. He didn't win one at Mason. Thank you, Mario Chalmers. For all the Kansas fans out there. And he only won one in Kentucky. Anthony Davis, anybody? He didn't win one with John Wall. He didn't win one with Boogie Cousins. He didn't win one with Karl Anthony Towns. Okay? He only won with Anthony Davis as the star player on the team. That's the only national championship Calipari has. And yet, he gets paid what he gets paid. And he's 1-4 in his last five tournament games. John Calipari in Kentucky. John needs to go back to being the old John Calipari. Recruiting all these top athletes that are supposed to be one and done. They go to the college for the 1 year and they hop right to the NBA, ain't working no more. The transfer portal has changed all that because now it's college sports has become free agency. Number two, the NIL deal, because now that will help make it the transfer portal to free agency in college sports. They can get paid, but I can go into a big school. They can go to a small school and get paid, or just like you can go to a big school and get paid. And number three, the one and done. Those dudes don't want to develop. They don't want to develop. If they hear the words that you can play in the NBA, they're going to do what they want to you. They're going to go to the NBA. But if they stay and develop, that look like the women's game. And it'll be a lot more exciting. It'll be a lot more fun. We will know players' names. We will know who to expect to go to the league and who to be ready to rock and roll and do their thing. But it's not. It's because all three play a combination into why men's college basketball is on the decline while the women's has to pass the men. In the day and age, most people would never thought that would happen. But this is where we at. Oh, Snowman's in the building. Shout out to Brian Snow. He says, got to tune in. I got all the women's games this weekend on my channel. Shout out to you. By the way, I gave you a shout out to your Northwestern Wildcats earlier for beating Florida Atlantic. just so you know. Cole Johnson says, all that talent which has come to Lexington, and that makes him a real class fraud. Cole Johnson is picking off the fact that I said Kyle Perry has done all things that he done on and has won national championship to show for it. Only one. That's one SEC team that went down. Let's go to the other one. The Auburn Tigers. The SEC champions, Auburn Tigers, they went down in the 4-13 upset to Yale. The Yale Bulldogs caught them. The Yale Bulldogs came back to beat the SEC champions. Remember I told you earlier, the SEC did not have a fun day in the tournament. They go your two upsets right there. Kentucky, a 3-seed. Auburn, a 4-seed, all went down. But we'll get more into the SEC later because I could do everything together. Another upset, the 5-12 upset, as James Madison, the Dukes, I was talking about earlier, their head coach, has taken a new position. Before he left, he knocked off the 5th-seed Wisconsin Badgers. Shocking. And another 12-5 upset is the fact that the West Coast champion, the St. Mary Gale, they got stunned by Grand Canyon, 75-66. This is what March is made of, madness. And speaking of madness, these ain't all the upsets because I did 1-1. Because 3 of the 4 11 seeds took down 6 seeds. Oregon, the Pac-12 champions, taking down 6 seed South Carolina, another SEC school. Duquesne, Dukes, the 11 seed taking down BYU. And the 11 seed and the ACC champion, Northwestern State Wolfpacks, took down 6 seed Texas Red Raiders. And the fact that NC State was able to get the 80 tells you everything you need to know. Because if you know anything about Texas Tech, they play defense. Well, defense wasn't available that game because the NC State got the 80, which is why that happened. Okay? So those are your upsets thus far in the tournament. As we move on, here we go. Let's break it down, ladies and gentlemen. Conference by conference, and I did this so y'all can see it. You know that I do my work, I do my due diligence. So we get to the ACC. They had a team in the first four in the Virginia Cavaliers, and they if I wasn't on vacation and I was able to do a flagrant foul, or if I had a guest like Cole Johnson was with me, yeah, Virginia began the flagrant foul for only scoring 42 points in a freaking tournament game. 42 points is what Virginia put up in the tournament game. That's why they got ousted. Outside of that, what can you say about the Atlantic Coast Conference? They went 4-0 in the round of 64. All 14 of those made in North Carolina, NC State, Clemson, and Duke won. They went 4-0 in the round of 32. North Carolina, NC State, Clemson, and Duke won in that game. So we have 14s in the Sweet 16. NC State, already talked about NC State upsetting 16 seeds as it's taken around those 64. And then Clemson in the round of 32 put it on the 3-seed Baylor in the round of 32. Shout out to the ACC, man. They are balling. We always say the ACC is the basketball conference, and this year we didn't get them respect that we felt they deserved because we were looking at the SEC and the Big 12, and yet the ACC standing mighty tall there, man. And speaking of the Big 12, let's move on to the Big 12. The Big 12 had 18 to make the tournament. They went 5-3 in the round of 64. Texas, Iowa State, Kansas, Baylor, Houston. Shout out to Cole Johnson, who was a Texas Longhorn fan. Got them a win in the round of 64. And then from the round of 64 to the round of 32, where I put 3-3, it should be 2-3. Mistake on my part. 2-3 in the round of 32. Only Iowa State and Houston winning. They did suffer upset losses, as we already know. BYU to Duquesne. Texas Tech to NC State, and of course Baylor to Clemson. So the Big 12 took some shots on that one, unfortunately. But that's the Big 12 for you. They got two teams remaining. Let's move on to the Big East. Pretty simple. Only three teams made it. All three teams won both games. 6-0. The only conference that's undefeated is the Big East. UConn, Marquette, Creighton. But I don't know what to tell you. It's the Big East. at one point in time, the Big East was the class of the college basketball world until all the movement around with UConn going to the American and Louisville going to the ACC along with Miami and all this other stuff. Now that UConn is back in the Big East, and it's a powerhouse again, and it's showing you why. The three teams that made it, which should have been more, you could have asked St. John's, you could have asked Seton Hall, just throw a couple out there. All three of them in the Sweet 16. 1, 2, and 3. 1 seed, 2 seed, and 3 seed, all of them in the Sweet 16. Let's move on. Big Ten. Moving on to the Big Ten. They had 16 get in it. 16 got in it. 4-2 in around 64, Michigan State, Illinois, Northwestern, and Purdue. Yet again, shout out to Brian Snow and the Northwestern Wildcats when they went over Florida Atlantic. And then they went 2-2. They split in around 32 with only Illinois and Purdue making it. As we talked about earlier, the fifth-seeded team, Wisconsin, upset about a 12-seed George Mason in a round of 64. Before we move on, Cole Johnson says about Houston. He says, Houston better wake up. A&M almost got him. Duke is able to get him in Dallas. He's actually right. And he also says, I still don't got no faith in Purdue. But, hey, Purdue made it to the second weekend. Give them credit. They made it to the second weekend, boys. Let's go to the Pac-12. The Pac-12 had four teams in it. They had one team playing the play-in, which was Colorado, and they won as the 10 seed. And then the Pac-12 decided to go 4-0 in a round of 64. Oregon, obviously upsetting the South Carolina Gamecocks, Arizona doing their thing, Washington State doing their thing, and Colorado, which I will tell you how I feel about Colorado in a minute. And then all of a sudden they went from 4-0 in the round of 64 to 1-3 in a round of 32 with Oregon, Washington State, and Colorado all taking L's, leaving just Arizona left. Obviously, we talked about Oregon upsetting 6th seed South Carolina. And Colorado decided to follow suit as they took out Florida, the 7th seed. I can't say much, but KJ Simpson saved Colorado. Save Colorado. That's nothing I can still say. He pulled off a Kawhi Leonard on us. I don't know what to tell you. He shot the ball. The ball hit every part of the damn rim and went in. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, just watch the ball hit every part of the rim and go in. It's just like, yeah, this really nothing. I can't even be mad. It went in, man. It went in. It just went in. Man, but shout out to my girls. We did make the tournament, and we did take a first round as I feared. Even though Cole Johnson is saying Florida had a great season, but he don't want to acknowledge that I was right the whole time. And I feared a first round exit for my Gators, and it ended up happening. But it is what it is. And speaking of the SEC, you thought the Big 12 was something. Look at the SEC. Look at this travesty here. 8 teams from the SEC got in. 3-5 in the round of 64. Tennessee, Alabama, and Texas A&M. 2 teams remain after that because A&M took an L to Houston, which Cole was talking about in the last comment, where they almost caught Houston. And I will show you how close they came to catching Houston. Only Tennessee and Alabama remaining, and of course the upsets of Kentucky losing to Oakland, Auburn losing to Yale, and Florida losing to Colorado. And here Cole says, and Rick Barnes actually woke up and decided to coach this past weekend. Congratulations to them beating Texas in a round of 32. Hey, it is what it is. And then now we get that out the way with the conferences. There's the 1 seeds. As you can see here, fairly dominant for the most part outside of Houston. As you can see here, 5-point win in overtime over Texas A&M. We're going to break that. We're going to dive a little bit more into it. But if you look at the rest of the 1 seeds, fairly dominant. Just dominant. Even pretty dominant, okay? Just dominant, all right? And let's dive into it. Let's talk about it. UConn Huskies, they won their first game by 39, as you can see, 91-52. They won their second game by 17, by like 27, something like that, as you can see. they weren't playing. The number one overall team in men's basketball, the UConn Huskies, they have scored an average of 166 to 110. That is a plus 56 and an average margin of 28 through the first two games, through the first weekend. The Houston Cougars, they won their first game over Longwood by 40. And then the game that Cole almost threw up and almost broke a TV when Texas A&M took them to overtime and they survived by five points, Houston. So you're talking 186 to 144. That's plus 45. Average margin is 22.5 because they look enough and survive Texas A&M. But UConn is doing their thing. All right. That's the first 2-1 seeds. Let's go to the other 2-1 seeds. Purdue. Oh my gosh. Purdue. Purdue won. They opened the game by 28 over Grambling State. And then they took Utah State to the woods. They beat them by 39. So you're talking Purdue has outscored their opponents 184 to 117 at first two rounds. That is a plus 67 with an average margin of 50 of 33.5. A lot of people was hard on Purdue from going into this weekend. They made it past this weekend. Obviously, Cole Johnson still don't have faith in them. But I wonder if anybody else starting to get a little bit of faith in Purdue. We shall see going into the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. But the most dominant team right now is the Purdue Boilermakers, even more dominant than UConn, according to stats. But the eye test says UConn is just head and shoulders above everybody. Just throwing it out there. According to stats, Purdue's been more dominant. But the eye test says UConn is just head and shoulders above everybody. All right. And then the last number one seed is the North Carolina Tar Heels. They won their first round by 28. Then they beat Michigan State by 18, but it felt like more than 18 because Michigan State didn't have a chance in hell in that game, which is quite surprising because it's Tom Izzo and North Carolina sent them boys packing, like for real, packing. Like they was not playing around type packing, okay? So North Carolina 175 to 131, that is plus 44 and an average margin rate of 22. Points per game. So as you can see here, outside of the one game by Houston when they only won by five with Texas A&M, the one seeds are being one seeds right now, okay? We have dominant one seeds outside of that close game between Houston. Been one seeds. I mean, UConn has held both their opponents to under 60, okay? Purdue is just whooping everybody, okay? You get the 50, we'll be in the 70s. You get the 60, we'll be in the 100s, like, good gracious. And then North Carolina said both teams are being held on the 70 while we hitting 85 and 90 points. So the one seeds are doing their thing. You got to love it. You got to love it, okay? And here's where we are so far as the seeding for the Sweet 16. Our four number one seeds are in the Sweet 16, as we just saw. UConn, Purdue, Houston, and North Carolina. All four number two seeds are in the Sweet 16. Iowa State, Tennessee, Arizona, and Marquette. 2-3 seeds are in it with Creighton and Illinois. 2-4 seeds are in it with Duke and Alabama. 5 seeds has a couple of them with Gonzaga and San Diego State. A 6 seed and Clemson and the 11 seed and a team that is on a winning streak like none other than the NC State Wolfpack. They had to win 5 games in 5 days to clinch their ACC championship game, was the only way they was going to get in, and they won their first two rounds, okay? They are very tired by the upset of Texas A&M, and they was the team that sent Oakland home. They're very nice running around 32. So they're on a 7-game winning streak. Shout out to the Wolfpack, man. They are doing their thing. I can't be mad at them. But these are the remaining 16 teams and the seedings that they are. So 1-2, Aiden, they are dominant. The one seeds are 8-0, the two seeds are 8-0. Can they keep it going? So far, so good. Like I said, my Final Four is still intact because I had UConn, I had Houston, which I'm pretty scared of right now. Okay, I'm a little scared because Houston is not looking too well for me right now.
That's not good. They had a close call, but they still survived. Who else I had? I know I had Tennessee. I think I had North Carolina, if I remember correctly. Yep. UConn, North Carolina, Houston, and Tennessee. So I'm still good. I only lost one Elite 18, which was freaking Kentucky, but no, not Kentucky. Texas Tech was my Elite 18 that I lost to Texas Tech. Nevertheless, we still good. We still rocking and rolling, all right? All right. Tomorrow we get back into it and we open it up with Clemson in Arizona, 709 CBS. That should be a good game. That out in the West. That'll be out in Los Angeles, California, if I remember correctly. That should be in Los Angeles. Let me make sure I got my cities correctly here. Yeah, that'll be in Los Angeles. And then we'll drop into Region East at 7:39, 30 minutes after tip-off of Clemson, Arizona, 30 minutes afterward. It's a rematch of the national championship game last year when the San Diego State Aztecs tried to do something that hasn't been done in quite a long time. And they'll send UConn home. The number one overall seed will see San Diego State again. And if y'all remember, UConn beat the brakes off them boys. They might do it again. That is in the East region. Is that in New York? I want to say that's in New York, if I remember correctly. That game should be taking place in New York. Let me check my notes here and make sure I'm right. That is taking place. No, that's in Boston. TD Garden in Boston. So the East region is in Boston. The West region is in LA. The South region is in Dallas. Okay, but for tomorrow, it's the East and West. So after the Clemson Arizona game ends, the next game on CBS that night around 9:39, 9:40 Eastern Standard Time, depending on how long Arizona Clemson goes. Alabama versus North Carolina. That's gonna be interesting. Nate Oates versus UB Davis. I want to see how that goes. That should be a nice, interesting matchup. Alabama likes to run and play physical. They like to put a high. North Carolina, they can play any style with RJ Davis and Amanda Baycott. Looking forward to that. Want to see how Nate Oates defend Baycott and RJ Davis. Want to see what Hubert Davis does, trying to slow down that high octane offense of Alabama. That's going to be a fun one, okay? That's really going to be a fun one. I did think North Carolina, so I need North Carolina to win. And then for the final game of the evening, once UConn finished destroying San Diego State, I'm just going to throw it out there. UConn's going to destroy San Diego State. They're going to get destroyed again. I'm just going to throw it out there. We will have the Big Ten champions of the final lineup of Illinois versus the Big 12 champions of the Cyclones of Iowa State. Woo-hoo-hoo. This might be the matchup of the Sweet 16 on the men's side. You talking about Illinois, who has a high octane offense, going against one of the best defensive teams in the country in Iowa State. Terrence Shannon Jr. is a bucket waiting to happen. But against this Iowa State defense, I am looking forward to this one Thursday night to cap off the night tomorrow. It's going to be from TBS 2 TV. That game should probably be on CBS. But I understand you got the potential of seeing Caleb Love beat Clemson on CBS and then his former team, North Carolina, beat Alabama, which sets up a Elite Eight matchup between North Carolina and Arizona. I see what they're doing. I peep game here. I peep game CBS. I know what you're trying to do. But, man, that Illinois and Iowa State game, that might be the game of the day tomorrow. Because Illinois loves scoring and Iowa State love playing defense. So that's tomorrow. And then we're going to close it out on Friday. The kickoff Friday. This is what I'm talking about. The team on the hottest winning streak in college right now, the NC State Wolfpack, the 11th seed from the ACC, the NC State Wolfpack, going against a team from the conference that can't be touched. The 2-seed Marquette Golden Eagles. Something's got to give him. The winning streak of NC State
coming to a halt. Or the Big East finally taking the L in this tournament because they are 8-0 right now. No, eight, no, they 12-0. They are 12-0. I'm sorry. I mean, the Big East has not lost a game. Marquette looks good. Creighton looks good. UConn damn sure look good. It's going to be interesting. A streak is going to end. Either a team streak or a conference streak. Something's going to end. And the Big East is looking forward to Marquette trying to handle business. Could this somewhat similar to the story of NC State come to a halt? Because Marquette got their best player back and they haven't looked back. They handle business against Colorado in the round of 32. Who's not expected. But that's the first game, 709 CBS. Then True TV and TBS, they'll get a start 30 minutes after that one. Woo, boy. Mark Few and the Phil Seek and Zaga Bulldogs are back in the Sweet 16, taking on Zach Edey. Player of the year, two-time player of the year, Zach Edey, and the Purdue Boilermakers, who come on making a statement in the first two rounds. Remember, I told you, they have an average margin written in the first two rounds of 33.5. They are smacking teams, okay? Okay, they smack Glamorous State by 28, and then they turn around and smack Utah State by 39, okay? But the Gonzaga Bulldogs, they felt some type of way. They heard all the talk. They heard all the talk about Mimi State and how Gonzaga's going to get upset by Mimi State. And Gonzaga looked at them and was like, yo, I don't know what y'all think this is, but y'all not touching us. And gave them a beating. Told them, get that out of here. You would not be touching us. Matter of fact, what was the final score? 86-65. Beat them by 21. Told them to get them out of here. And then they beaten up Kansas team, who didn't have Carl Jr. for the tournament. And they gave it to them 89-68. They are smacking teams too. So we got two teams coming out beating down people for doubting them. Everybody had their doubts about Purdue. You know, they got beat by a 16 seed last year. The year before that, they got beat by a 14 seed, you know. You know, y'all first two games don't look all that good. They smacked Grambling State and Utah State, and Gonzaga said, how dare y'all disrespect us? Mimi State gonna beat us? Oh, I don't think so. And then they said, Kansas, y'all beating them. Let's just put y'all out y'all misery. Get you up out of your bill, so go take a vacation. And they smacked them out the building, too. So that South region is in Dallas. The Midwest region. Where is the Midwest region? Let me go find out for you. Let me find out where the Midwest region for you, because I want to say Chicago. Somewhere in that region. Detroit. They in Detroit. So you got the South region in Dallas, the Midwest region in Detroit. So we swear these games will be played at. And after the first South region game between NC State and Marquette is decided, we will have a game that might make Cole Johnson nervous. Even though he's a Longhorn fan, but he loves repping Houston as well. The Duke Blue Devils back in the Sweet 16. Taking on a Houston team that you don't know who's going to show up on any given night. One night they can show up and beat you down by 40 like they did Longwood. The next night they just sneaking by and getting by Texas A&M. And then another night they can get blown out the gym in Kansas City, Missouri by Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game. So if you're a Houston Cougar fan and you like coaches, you don't know what Houston team you're going to get. But you're hoping the team that show up like they show up against Longwood, because here come the Duke Blue Devils. And that name rings a bell in a lot of people's mind when you hear Duke Blue Devils, because that is a blue blood that the Crews have to deal with in the Sweet 16. And Coach Johnson says Duke can get with Houston if the shots fall and the Crews defense sleeps. Just saying, it can happen. It can happen. And then what could still show of the entire Sweet 16? I know I just said Illinois and Iowa State could still show, but what can possibly still show of the entire Sweet 16 is the final game on Friday night in Detroit, Michigan. The Creighton Blue Jays, the ranking and shooting Creighton Blue Jays. Remember, the last time UConn lost was to Creighton. And that because Creighton shot ridiculously from three. That thing, they shot like 60% from three and 70% from the field. Them shots were falling, nothing rain. UConn had no answer. And then they're going against Tennessee. Tennessee has a guy by the name of Dalton Kennett. That dude is a walking bucket.
He can drop 40 on any given moment if he needs to. This game right here, it's going to be spectacular. I can feel it. Creighton loves to shoot. Tennessee likes to play physical and put the buckets in. Man, if you are able to stay up and watch this game, it's going to be great. Now, the problem is, and I agree with Mad Dog on this because he did this on What You Mad About. Why are we starting games so late, like at 7, 7:30, 9:30, 10 o'clock? Start them at 5. You can go 5, you can go 7, or you can go 6 and then 8, you know? Why are we starting so late? I mean, I know you want viewership, but when you're starting late, how many people on the East Coast are going to stay up and watch this game on a Friday night? Or how many people are going to remember that this game right here, what could be the best game of the Sweet 16, going to stay up and watch this game because this game is after 10 o'clock tip time? That's a question I'm just throwing out there. Okay? Same thing with the Illinois and Iowa State. Look at the tip time of that game. It's after 10 o'clock. So your two most intriguing games are both the last games on East Days. That's after 10 o'clock tip time. How many people going to be paying attention to those games? How many people going to be asleep? How many people going to be going out, especially on Friday night? You're talking about Creighton in Tennessee. NCAA, we might have to think about redoing our time slots here, you know. We might need to go around about 6 o'clock, you know, and have it starting at 8. They have the second games be around 8, you know, just so you can get the viewership that you're looking for. I'm just saying. Just throwing that up. Cole Johnson says NC State might get past Marquette. I mean, you're talking about the hardest team in the country right now outside of UConn is NC State, so anything can happen. But the Big East is on a mission. The Big East is trying to prove a mission that UConn, Marquette, and Creighton are making a statement happen. And then Cole Johnson also says, I think the reason why they start the game so late is because they want the West Coast to watch some games. Because remember, the early game tip off at rush hour for those who live in LA. Yeah, that's true, but. Hey, I guess the West Coast is going to get the good games. Give some, you lose some. It is to it. But all right, that is what it is. That is the men's March Madness. Okay? We're going to take our final break here, and then when we come back, we're going to talk women. Yes, that's right. The women get the main event. The women are getting the main event. We'll be back.
Boston, I love you, you morons. You kiss on the block, new edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go yourself again, Jason.
Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color of crayon they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5. No, Pacific Time Zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel. Hey, Eagles fan, join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week, in an objective manner, and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care! Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast, every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets.
Welcome back to Shooting the Lights Out. Shout out to Wise and Cole Johnson. Mentality, great show. Lovely show. And the fact that would never get old to me because Wise just came out of nowhere. It was like, F everything, Boston. And he just went through the list. Everybody from Boston and F them. Even if he liked them, he's F Boston because he just went Boston. So, and plus, Wise going off on politicians would never get old either. Love that. Okay. Shout out to Chris Bass and Baseline. That man is something special. Okay, if you want to be like holding your stomach laughing, Chris Bass will have you rolling. Okay, I encountered Chris Bass one time, and man, it wasn't the same for me after that. That's all I gotta say. That's all I got to say. And then my co-host on Monarchs of Wrestling, Mr. Cool McCain. As an Eagle fan, he does a great job with that, with Diva, that whole crew with Eagles Elite. Enjoy that. Also, if you haven't subscribed to Monarchs of Wrestling Monday nights, 6:30 Eastern Standard Time, get you ready for WrestleMania. Just to throw a little shameless plug out there real quick. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the main event. It's only one thing left to talk about. It's the main event. It's the one that most people are paying attention to. It is the women's NCAA tournament. Okay? It is the women's NCAA tournament. There's nothing else to pay attention to. All right? I'll get to the NBA when I get to the NBA. But this tournament right here is shaping up to be what I thought it was going to be. It's been mostly chalk. We had a couple of upsets, but it's been mostly chalk along the way, which is what we want. Because we want the stars deep into the tournament, and is what we get. Now, I did say it's been a few upsets. Middle Tennessee State taking down Louisville. I'm not really surprised about that because I knew Louisville ain't been the same. When the heavy mentally transferred to LSU, I knew this at some point they were going to get caught, and they got caught in the first round. And then the big upset, Carolina lost to Coach Larson, had her Blue Devils come back from an 18-point deficit in Columbus, Ohio, not only stunned the Ohio State Buckeye fans, but the Ohio State Buckeyes themselves, and sending them home packing in the round of 32. Shout out to Coach Lawson and the Duke Blue Devils. Big time upset on that side. Gotta give them credit for what they did. Gotta give them love for that. Now, like I did with the men, I reversed the roles. We're going to dive into the top seeds or the women's first, and then we're going to break it down by conferences, all right? So the one season, the women's, they have been pretty much done it like the men. Outside of Iowa, who had a scare by West Virginia on Monday night with an unseen herd of free throws. It was like 35-3 in free throw attempts for Iowa over West Virginia. That's crazy. But nevertheless, let's dive into a piece by piece. The number one team in all of basketball, men and women, the South Carolina Gamecocks. Obviously, we expected South Carolina to do what they did to Presbyterian in 91-39. But look what they did to North Carolina. Look what they did to North Carolina. They beat the brakes off North Carolina. Oh, my Lord. I don't know how Daisy Kendall was feeling during that game, but it was over. It was just over. Like, South Carolina was up, I think it was, what, 56-19 at halftime? 56-19 at halftime. Think about that. South Carolina was up 56-19 at halftime. You just had to know that if you're a North Carolina fan, you knew your season was done. It was just done. And it was like, when South Carolina cheated North Carolina, there was a 20 seed. You just felt bad for Deja Kelly and the North Carolina Tigers. You just felt bad. It's like, that is ridiculous of what they look. As you, those who can see and read it, those who are listening to the audio or just listening in person without watching the video, South Carolina has scored 179 points and they only gave up 80. That is a plus 99. They are almost plus 100 in two games with an average margin of victory of 49.5. The best team of all of college basketball is South Carolina Gamecocks. The way they're just beating teams is just disrespectful, okay? They are the number one overall seed. The second number one seed was the Iowa Hawkeyes, okay? They have put up 155 points to 119. That is a plus 36 with an average margin of victory of 18. That's because of that scare that they had on Monday against the West Virginia Mountaineers. West Virginia, despite taking, let's say, 32 less free throws than the Iowa Hawkeyes, only lost by 10. Could that be a scare point for the Kenton Carter and Iowa Hawkeyes, or that could be a launching point for Kenton Carter and the Iowa Hawkeyes because they almost lost in their final game at Cova Hawk Arena? That's a question. That's a question. Then your third number one seed was the USC Trojans, winners of the Pac-12. They came out there. They went up against Texas A&M Corpus Christi, the Islanders, and they treated like Islanders because they beat them by 32. And then they decided to go into the round of 32 against the Kansas Jayhawks, the AC, and they decided to beat them by, you know, a good 18. So they are USC right now is 160 to 110, average margin of 25 because they are plus 50 in the win column. And then the final one, see, Cole Johnson, if you're still listening, your Lady Longhorns of Texas, they have looked pretty impressive. Winning their first game over Dressel by 40. Getting a little fight from the AC Crimson Tide of Alabama, but beating them by 11. That brings the Texas Longhorns having a score card of 147 to 96. That is a plus 51 with an average margin of victory of 25.5. So just like the men, the ladies one seeds are pretty dominant. Pretty dominant. Outside of a scare from West Virginia to Iowa, and Alabama putting up a fight somewhat against the Longhorns. Outside of that, it's been dominant. And it's been more dominant by South Carolina more than anybody in college basketball. They just beating everybody, okay? So now that we got the one seeds out the way, let's break it down by conferences. The ACC, they saw eight teams come from that conference. 5-3 in the round of 64 with North Carolina, Duke, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, and NC State. And then in the round of 32, they went 3-2, you know, losing Virginia Tech and NC State. No, losing Virginia Tech and missing the team here. And North Carolina. Duh. South Carolina just destroyed them. Let's talk about it. My bad. So you have Duke, NC State, and Notre Dame left. The upset loss over Louisville, taking that L in around 64 to 11th seed, Middle Tennessee State. So we have three remaining from the ACC. Let's move on to the Big 12. The Big 12 saw seven teams get in it. Seven teams from the Big 12. Seven undefeated in the first round. Undefeated in the round of 64. Texas, Kansas State, Baylor, Iowa State, Kansas, Oklahoma, and the rest of Virginia. And then the round 32 happened in 2-5, but only Texas and Baylor remaining for the Big 12. And then we move on to the Big East. The Big East, they had the same amount of teams as the men, and it's the same three teams in the men: Marquette, Creighton, and UConn. Marquette was the first team to take an L in the round of 64, was leaving UConn and Creighton. And then Creighton took an L, which only leaves UConn remaining. So the UConn men and UConn women still remains in both tournaments. It's good to know because you only had three teams on both sides. So that is what it is. From the Big East to the Big Ten, seven teams from the Big Ten, 4-3 in the round of 64, Ohio State, Nebraska, Indiana, and Iowa survived the first round. And then in the round of 32, 2-2 with Iowa and Indiana surviving because that shocker that happened at Ohio State, as you see the upset loss. 2-seed Ohio State took an L at home to the 7-seed Duke. And obviously, Nebraska as a 6-seed had a tough matchup. Weren't going to win it. Obviously, they did. Then they rolled to the Pac-12. When you go to the Pac-12, we had seven teams from the Pac-12 in it. 6-1. In around 64, Colorado, Oregon State, Stanford, USC, UCLA, and Utah. And then 5-1 in around 32, that's leaving Colorado,
Oregon State, Stanford, UCLA, and USC. With the lone loss coming from Utah, as we talked about earlier, with the whole racial remarks and all that type of stuff, they weren't focused and they took mail to the Gonzaga Bulldogs. And then the SEC coming in with 18, just as last the man. Had two teams playing the play-in. Auburn took an L. Vanderbilt took a W. And then 5-2 in the round of 64 with South Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss, and LSU winning. And then 2-3 in the round of 32 here in South Carolina and LSU. Obviously not surprising when you see Alabama as an 8 seed, Tennessee as a 6 seed, and Ole Miss as a 7 seed. Not very surprising. These three teams lost in the round of 32 because they were going to get better teams, better competition, stuff like that. Tennessee pushed NC State as much as they could, but it wasn't going to happen. So that's where we at so far. And then here's what we have left in the Sweet 16, ladies and gentlemen. All full one seeds remaining. South Carolina, Iowa, USC, and Texas. Three two seeds remaining in Stanford, UCLA, and Notre Dame. Obviously, the other two seed was Ohio State. All three seeds. I mean, all four three seeds. So I said all four three seeds remain. NC State, UConn, Oregon State, and LSU. A couple of four seeds with Gonzaga and Indiana. A couple of five seeds with Baylor and Colorado. And the lowest remaining seed left is the Duke Blue Devils at a 7 seed. And that makes up for a great matchup because all these names, school-wise, are all known. So we can have some interesting matchup starting Friday. And on Friday, beginning at 2:30 on Friday, Oregon State, Notre Dame. Outside of South Carolina, if you used to ask me who is the hottest team in women's college basketball, outside of South Carolina, it is the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They went through that ACC tournament with no problem, and they had no problems in their first two rounds. They are Coach Ivy is doing her thing with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish and then Oregon State. Them girls, one of the surprising teams in college basketball because nobody thought Oregon State would be sitting here at 26-7 as a 3 seed in Albany 1, Region 1 in Albany. Okay, so we in Albany and Portland, those are basically the two regions right there. One is a little move to Cleveland. Looking forward, 2:30, Beavers Fighting Irish. That's going to be a hell of a game. That's on all four of these games on ESPN. After that game, at 5 p.m. on ESPN in Albany. Noted. Indiana got their hands full. They looked good in the tournament. But now they're going against the best team in all of college basketball in South Carolina. It's going to be a tough one for Indiana. Let's see if they can make it a game with the South Carolina Gamecocks because, remember, they are winning by an average of 49.5 points per game in two games in the tournament already. They are smacking teams. They just got done smacking North Carolina. Indiana's a 4 seed. If they can stay within distance through the first half, they have a chance play. If South Carolina treat them like they did North Carolina, by halftime, that game's over. You can say by midway in the second quarter, game over. Indiana got their hands full. Can they hold on and take down the Gamecocks? I don't see it. But it's going to be a tough one. Okay, after that game, let's head to the Portland region. Portland 4, as it will be NC State, the 3 seed, taking on the 2 seed Stanford Cardinals. Woo-hoo, boy. Is it me? All these matches are so juicy to watch from the women's side. NC State versus Stanford. Stanford is skate at home over Iowa State. It took overtime to get it done, but they escaped. Cameron Brink fouled out when they had 8 points. Can she come back with the vengeance and do what she needs to do to help her team advance to the Elite Eight? Or will NC State, will the Wolfpack rise and get back to the Elite Eight and possibly get back to a Final Four? The Wolfpack standing in the Cardinals' way, and it's going to be a fun one up in Portland. Stanford going to have the home crowd because it's in Portland, but NC State is not afraid of the moment. I'm looking forward to this game right here. If I'm sucking a game for Friday, when it comes to the women's, it is this game right here. NC State and Stanford. Both teams been here before. Both teams have been to the Elite Eight. Both teams have been to Final Fours. But only one can move on. Another one must take a loss. And then the nightcap on Friday, 10 p.m. on ESPN. The Gonzaga Bulldogs, 32-3, taking on the Big 12 champions, the number one seed in that bracket, the Texas Longhorn. Cole, how you feeling about your ladies going against the Bulldogs of Gonzaga? This could be an interesting slot here. Because last time me and Cole, we talked about how young the Longhorns are on the women's side. They got a Gonzaga Bulldog team. They are not afraid of the moment. They come ready to play. It's going to be an interesting one here to see how this goes, because Gonzaga is not a pushover. Gonzaga got some dogs. Will the Longhorns survive and get to the Elite Eight? Can they get to the regional finals as the number one team in that region? Or will Gonzaga pull off the upset? That's Friday. That's just Friday. And Friday already looked good, but Saturday looks even gooder. Oh, Saturday. Saturday at 1 p.m. Saturday, ABC, the region of death, region two in Albany. Woo, boy. Hold on, Cole responded to me. Cole says, let me see what Cole said. The Lady Longhorns should get with the Lady Bulldogs. They will get tested and they will have a slight home court advantage. I feel good about the Longhorns' chances. Okay. But this is what me and Cole have been waiting for in the rest of the world. The region of death. This is Iowa region. 1 o'clock. ABC. The reigning, defending national champion, the LSU Tigers. Coming off a scale from Middle Tennessee State. Now they are in Albany, New York. They take on the 2 seed, the UCLA Bruins. That's a juicy way to get started. We get the national defending champions to kick it off, and they got the 2 seed UCLA. Oh, this is going to be a good one right here. It's going to be some interesting games on Saturday to kick this one off. And then after that, we're going to stick in the Albany. We're going to stay in Albany at 3:30. Because we got the number one girl in all of basketball, Kate McClark, taking the floor. And they going against Colorado. Ooh, Colorado. Colorado was the one who came out of that interesting game between Colorado and Kansas State. Colorado and Iowa, they faced off before. I think Iowa escaped that game, if I remember correctly. I think Iowa escaped that game. Let me see if I can find it. Let me go do some research and try to get you that score. Let's see. Did they face off? Somebody said they faced off. I want to see. I know they faced off twice with Kansas State. Surprisingly, how that worked out. No, they faced off last year. That's what it is. They faced off last year, and Iowa got them. Iowa got them. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. Caitlin Clark, maybe that scare from West Virginia probably worked them up. Well, are you talking about another team that's physical in Colorado? I don't think Iowa can handle physicality like that. In Colorado, that's a physical team. I do believe them. Whistles might be a little even out this time. It won't be no 35-3 free throw differential in this one. It's going to get interesting here between Colorado, the Buffaloes, and the Hawkeyes. Can Clayton Clark survive this game and get to the regional finals? That's going to be interesting. What Cole Johnson says, LSU and UCLA, that's the matchup of the Sweet 16, and I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all, because the defending champs, they had a scare, and UCLA is on a mission. That's going to be interesting. Then we go back to Portland.
5:30 on a Saturday. Baylor taking on Juju Watkins and the USC Trojans. Baylor's looking good. Baylor's starting to get back to being Baylor again. But that Juju's on a different level, bro. Juju is just on a different level. This lady here, just knowing that her team can pick her up when she has an off game, Juju has walked into this NCAA tournament, her first ever NCAA tournament, and she has put on the show. She is not messing around in this tournament. She's just not, okay? Let me give you some stats on Juju, okay? In their first game against Texas A&M Corpus Christi, Juju Watson had 23 points with 5 boards, 4 assists. She shot 8 for 18 from the field. Okay, that's game one. And then she had to go against Kansas in the round 32, right? Juju messed around, and she went. She had 28 points, 9 for 21 from the field, 4 from 8 from 3 with 11 boards and 5 assists. Juju's not playing. She is not afraid of the big lights or the big moment of March Madness. Let's see if Baylor going to be Baylor again. But I like Juju in this one. Unfortunately, she plays for USC. And then the final game, 8 o'clock ESPN on a Saturday afternoon to wrap up the Sweet 16. Coach Lawson and the Blue Devils taking on Gino Auriemma. And the UConn Huskies, we're talking Paige Becker, Paige Buckets. Does Kara Lawson, does Coach have anything in her repertoire to put up with Aaliyah Edwards and Paige Beckers? Y'all just lucky Asia Foot is not healthy, because you add her to the mix with Aaliyah Edwards and Paige Becker. Oh my God, UConn might be a one seed instead of Texas. No offense, Coach Jones, but if I'm being honest here, if Asia Flood wasn't injured, ooh, Lord. See, this is what happened to Geno. He's been dealing with injuries. If his 3 stars are not injured, ooh, we don't know what kind of UConn team we're looking at, if I'm being completely honest. Because I believe if Asia Flood wasn't injured, they might be a one seed. They might be a one seed, okay? But they're a 3 seed, you know? And it's interesting. They are 3 seed, and they have 31 wins. They have the same amount of wins as Iowa does. And they're a 3 seed. Think about that. You have a 3 seed that has 31 wins. And one of your 1 seeds is at 30 wins. Another one of your 1 seeds is at 28 wins. Just imagine if they was fully healthy for Gino Auriemma. Now, they're not. Duke, Carolina, they did a hell of a job shocking Buckeyes up in Columbus. Now you in Portland. You going from Columbus back to Durham, North Carolina to Portland, Oregon now. While UConn was in Connecticut the whole entire time, so they just hurried, hopping on a flight and going to Oregon. So it's going to be an interesting one to see here. I don't know how this is going to go, but it's a juicy matchup. The Sweet 16 on both sides looks very good. We're going to have some very good games. The men are starting to step it up, which I am thankful for. I'm thankful for the men to step it up. But we all know the women got the star power, and the stars will be on display. South Carolina will be on Friday doing their thing. You got Cameron Britt on Friday as well. And then on Saturday, the defending champs is LSU, Caitlin Clark, Juju Watson, Paige Becker. It's gonna be a fun time. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then you have the Elite Eight as well. But we don't know the matches for the Elite Eight. We only got the Sweet 16, so that's all we got. And that's all I got for you on today, on this Wednesday evening. So with that being said, I hope y'all enjoy the show. Go ahead, subscribe to the podcast if you're watching on the YouTube channel. If you're watching on Facebook, subscribe to go ahead, like and follow our YouTube page, the Playmakers Blog page. Follow us on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, if you're watching on X. All right. And plus, if you want to hear this back, you can hear it on any podcast directory there is out there. All right. Until then, until next time, like I said, I'm going to get you some NBA content soon. Got to get you some NBA, because I am keeping up with the NBA as well. But for right now, it's all about the madness and what's been happening. So with that being said, y'all have a good one.
You've done great. But you can't stop. stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your canvas.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Being through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.